This is Radio Boston. I'm Adam Ragusa, in from Meghna Chakrabarty and Anthony Brooks today. It's the harshest sentence the state of Massachusetts has to offer: life in prison without the possibility of parole. It's a promise that every day, including the prisoner's last, will be spent behind bars, meaning it's a sentence for the very worst of all criminals because it assumes no chance for rehabilitation. It's such a severe sentence, in fact, that several states refuse to give it at all to juveniles, but not in Massachusetts. In 1996, the Commonwealth changed the law to allow the so-called juvenile super predators to be tried in adult courts. Since then, seven teenagers have been sentenced to life with no possibility of parole for having killed someone before they turned 17. The New England Center for Investigative Reporting reviewed scores of murder cases with teen suspects since the change of the 1996 law. Their results were quite surprising. There seemed to be no clear reason why some juveniles received the state's harshest penalty while others didn't. Maggie Mulvihill is the co-director of the New England Center for Investigative Reporting, and she oversaw the recent project which appeared in today's Boston Globe. Maggie Mulvihill, thanks so much for joining us.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. So let's look at the two different cases here that show how the state has applied this 1996 law. Two of the cases you describe in today's report are those of Antonio Fernandez and Eduardo Rodriguez. Let's start with Eduardo Rodriguez. What is he accused of?
Edgardo Rodriguez had met his victim, who was 27, on a telephone chat service a few days before he murdered him. And Edgardo was 16 at the time. He stabbed his victim about 23 times and then returned the next day to rob the apartment while the victim, Joel Rivero, lay there.
So it's a pretty grisly crime. And Rodriguez accepted a plea deal that may grant him parole in the next 10 years. Let's talk about Antonio Fernandez. What was his crime?
Antonio Fernandez, also 16, shot a 19-year-old man in Brookline in 2002. It was an impulsive act. He was supposedly called a racial slur by the victim and shot him once in the chest. He was offered a plea deal. He rejected it. He went to trial. He got life without parole.
And as you report, Fernandez had no major priors, and yet he received the harshest of all sentences that you can get in Massachusetts. Several of the other seven life with no parole cases were somewhat similar, right?
Yeah, a number of the seven who've gotten the harshest sentence had either no criminal history whatsoever or very minimal criminal history. And the law was designed, it was actually triggered by an incredibly brutal crime committed by a fellow named Eddie O'Brien, who stabbed his best friend's mother 90-plus times and was going to be tried in juvenile court. And that's what triggered the change in the law, that would be too light of a punishment. So it really was designed to punish depraved killers. And the seven that have gotten the harshest sentence don't indicate, the same kind of cruelty that O'Brien displayed.
Did the law endeavor to define what a super predator is, what the most depraved criminal is, or is that purely up to the judge or the jury?
No, the law was the mantra at the time in 1996 was to punish adult crime with adult time. That was the mantra that the legislature was using, that for far too long juvenile killers had the ability to be tried in juvenile court where they would not get punished very severely. And so after the O'Brien murder and a couple of other pretty brutal murders in the 1990s when juvenile crime was high, the legislature decided to act and lower the boom on these teenagers.
Sure. So supporters of the law no doubt say that it improves public safety, but from having examined these scores of cases, Maggie, do you think that's the case?
Well, we looked at 60-plus juvenile murder cases, and only kids who were age 14 through 16 at the time that they killed. And there certainly, we found really how we described it as profound inequities in the way that the sentence was applied, that it's applied inconsistently. It's not capturing killers like Eddie O'Brien in most cases. It's not capturing kids who don't seem to have any chance to redeem themselves. And we're so out of line with the rest of the country. We're the only state in New England that imposes this kind of punishment on kids in this age group. So even Texas is criticizing us because they don't even do it.
You and your team spoke to one Massachusetts state lawmaker, State Senator Harriet Chandler of Worcester, who voted for the 1996 law but has now changed her mind on it. What led her to the change of heart?
What she told us was that the brain research that the U.S. Supreme Court has cited in recent rulings in which they've carved back applying life without parole to juveniles, that's what triggered her change of heart. The U.S. Supreme Court in recent years has issued two important rulings having to do with juveniles. One is that they can't be sentenced to death, and then in 2010, juveniles convicted of non-homicides cannot be sentenced to life without parole. And they just last month, the High Court took up this very issue, and they'll have oral arguments likely in March of next year, looking specifically at whether juveniles who commit murder can also be sentenced to life without parole, or whether or not that's cruel and unusual punishment.
So the U.S. Supreme Court could potentially step in and force Massachusetts to change this aspect of its law. Do you think that there's any momentum within the legislature to go back and change the law?
You know, it's a very, very tough issue. I mean, we have dozens and dozens of murder victims here, and it's a very emotional and tough issue, and we can't forget the victims. The SJC has the opportunity, the State Supreme Judicial Court has the opportunity to change the law, because there are cases pending in front of the court juveniles here, that some of the ones we wrote about who are trying to get their cases overturned. So the legislature has an opportunity, our own high court has the opportunity, or we can just wait and see what the U.S. Supreme Court does.
Well, we'll see what happens. It's an important piece of reporting. Maggie, thank you so much for bringing it to us.
Thank you.
Maggie Mulvihill is the co-director of the New England Center for Investigative Reporting. She supervised the center's report, which appeared in today's Boston Globe. You can find a link at our website, radioboston.org.